It's June 15th, 2017, and it may be too easy for Arteezy, but it's still too hard for me. I'm Colin Detmar.
And I'm Nick Cease, and this is Bottle Co., or Dota 2 Podcast. Colin, let's talk about some Dota 2.
Okay, Nick, how has your week of Dota been?
How has my week of Dota been? Good? I think it's been light. I've both had finishing up some schoolwork at the end of a quarter, and also I've been playing another video game, which I'll talk about later.
Is that... So hang on, have you usually not played another video game?
I've been focusing more on another video game as opposed to Dota being my primary gaming outlet.
Okay, that's fair.
It's not like we're just, you know, one of those accounts that just has Dota 2 on it.
Sure. That's, yeah.
But we do have over, you know, 1,000 hours in this video game, so.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So, since the last time we recorded, I guess, I didn't talk about my Sean Vanneman game, did I?
I don't think you did. Please, regardless. I never heard the full tale, I don't think.
Because I double-checked, I'm double-checking my Dota buff, and it feels like the timing shouldn't work out, but I'm confused.
However, I think last time, maybe we should do a little bit of follow-up first. I know we don't normally do that.
Okay.
Because you might not have talked about it, because last time we just bellyached for 30 minutes about Silver.
Right! That's why
it's been 2 weeks since anything real happened.
Okay, that makes sense now, yeah. Now that you put it in that context.
Yeah. So, I guess I'll just talk about that other video game now.
Sure,
I tried to play some more Soulbreaker. I think maybe... Did you play more with me since...
No.
Before?
Okay. No, I was super not in... I think, in fact, there was a point where you were like, hey, do you want to play something? And I'm like, I don't... I'm like, I'm busy, but also, I have no interest in ever touching Soulbreaker again.
Yeah. I wanted it to work, and I wanted to try it a little more. And sure enough, like... I think I did it in like a 3-stack. Maybe we got a 4-stack again, and it was a little bit easier. Some of the sections, like, you knew what to do. Like, okay, there's the hell bears. You don't just focus on the wolves indefinitely. A little bit higher success rate on the Lycan boss guy, the first boss. Mm-hmm. But it was just bad. And so I re-downloaded Diablo 3, and
really?
I played like a good 6 hours of Diablo 3 this week or something like that. And boy, it's been a pleasure. I mean, I played it in the past for a little while. Not a lot, but like I got a character to level 70 or whatever the cap is before you start grinding other things. And boy, that was fun. I was like, you know what? Let me check if I like Diablo clone or, you know, that kind of thing. And yes, it was super fun. Like, I spammed my skills. There was, you know, cool particle effects for, like, the magic dude. And then there was, like, a dude with a shield or a lady with a shield and a sword. And, you know, you were agile. You could spam things. But there's also very big high cooldown spells. But they actually do something because they're designed to do something to, you know, mob packs and not creeps or enemy heroes. It's been lots of fun. I've been playing a lot of Diablo 3 this week. And I have no plans to touch Soulbreaker again as well, myself. Whenever I get that itch, I will just play the actual video game instead of some sort of...
Does that mean you're not going to poke at Act 2 when it comes out?
I mean, will you?
I mean, I guess I will.
Yeah.
I didn't have this podcast, I would not.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Because unlike you,
I mean, like, Soulbreaker is a badly done Diablo clone. I don't even like Diablo, so.
But that's been, you know, I know we just kind of like moaned and groaned for half an hour last week. I don't think it's unwarranted.
No.
But, well, I don't know if you were in the Discord or Discord. Yes, there's too many messaging apps now. Somebody made me download GroupMe today. What the hell is a GroupMe? I think it's owned by Skype. Anyways, I was talking to Mr. Blue, friend of the show Mr. Blue, about Soulbreaker, that thing, and he had the exact opposite reaction of us, which baffled me. And we also talked on Twitter. He took us to task about 2 weeks ago, our lambasting of Beat Bill's post on Small Tourneys.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little bit later. Yeah. But.
Yeah. So. Stuff. Things.
Weird. It's like anyone... Well, you know what? Actually, that totally makes sense. I like Mr. Blue. I would say he is more of an optimizer kind of person.
Definitely
than
very
I
different
am.
Tastes, yeah.
And I think that is what Siltbreaker appeals to, right?
Honestly, I don't think so. I think Diablo does, and I think this does not reward it. But evidently, I don't know. People are complex, and they can have their own tastes. League of Legends
Fair.
Is fun. Colin, since the last Bottle Crow, we've played League of Legends.
We have.
For the first time in a year and a half. After that Soulbreaker game, or like, before, you know, with the pod or whatever, that night, I couldn't play. I think it was the next night. I downloaded the League of Legends client.
We were, like, folks, we love this podcast, and we're going to keep doing it. We were so bummed about how bad we found Siltbreaker. I was going to say how bad Siltbreaker is, but like,
yes.
But like, yeah, like we were talking about how like, well, I guess maybe Dota is going to die and maybe Valve just can't make games anymore. And fuck it. I guess we'll play some League of Legends with a friend or two of ours who plays League of Legends.
We played some ARAM, some all random, all mid.
Yeah. The night before I also played some just regular ass League of Legends, with them. And like, I had fun, but also, God, it made me miss Dota.
Honestly, I kind of missed, like, occasionally you hear me reference things, like I talked about Lucian would be great to play in Soulbreaker, Lucian the League of Legends champion. I miss some things about League of Legends, but mostly I get that itch scratched by playing Heroes of the Storm.
There are elements of the, like, you know, screw it, hero design. Fuck your champion bullshit. Hero design. There are elements of the hero design in League of Legends that I'm not saying I necessarily want them in Dota, but there is no good comparison in Dota, and I miss it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the spectrum would go like Dota, League, Heroes of the Storm. That's why I kind of like playing Heroes of the Storm like every once in a while. Like, I'll play it. It's fun. But, it's just that and League are definitely built in a way different from Dota, and like you don't want to have dash mechanics on every hero in Dota. Like, you have to earn that with a blink dagger and stuff like that.
Yeah, for
sure. But it is super fun, like dash around, like be super mobile. It's like in Diablo almost.
Well, and you know, like I played some of my favorite characters, and you know, you got, I mean, like I am a big fan of Lux, for instance, and there's just this really fun, like, I guess it's not that different from Dota in a way, but like this, she's really based
shots.
And she's really based on like ability combos,
yeah,
in a way that's really fun. Mm-hmm. And you know, there are comparisons in Dota, but like
it's like lower skill cap combos or skill floor combos, as opposed to like, you know, 9K Miracle Invoker combos, or you know, good Lina combos with a Yules and your Lightstrike Array, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, specifically with Lux, it's less about, like, really, like, timing precise, and it's more about, like,
built-in,
like,
mechanics, maybe.
Built-in, and, like, a level of discipline, because with Lux, every time she casts, like, every time she hits you with a damaging spell, she gets a debuff on you that, like, her next auto attack will, like, sort of trigger the debuff and do damage to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wants to spell auto, and then like her ult. She has some interesting interactions there.
Yeah,
it is kind of like Storm. So there's like a rhythm to it that's really satisfying. So maybe it is just a lot like Storm, and I just can't play Storm for shit. But
I'm no Storm prodigy either.
Well, you know what? Well, who is
Sumail? Brado Gaming.
William Blitz Lee.
Indeed.
Is a Storm prodigy, and you know what that is our transition for?
I have no idea, actually.
Well, okay. Get ready for this.
Transition me. Segue me. Put me on your segue.
He recently visited California, where he stayed at the home of one Sean Vanaman.
Very nice. I like this
segue. Yeah, they hung out.
Who is Sean Vanaman?
Sean Vanaman is he's a video game developer. He's a podcaster, though not as much these days. And he was the original host of a now defunct podcast known as Dota Today, which is the Dota podcast that inspired me to get into Dota podcasting.
Podcasts to begin all podcasts.
Yeah. And then they stopped and I was like, well, this sucks that there's not any more. And I was like, I can just make it. And obviously this show is not Dota Today. If you've heard it's both Dota shows, you'd know that we're different. But like, you know, I wanted that kind of like,
he was an
I feel like we're pretty friendly around here. Yeah. Yeah. And then like, so one day he was streaming Dota and I was in chat and he was looking for a party and couldn't find one because it was very late at night. And I was like, hey, I mean, I'll drop my Steam ID in chat and I'll send you a friend request and we'll see how this goes. And he accepted the invite, but then didn't invite me to the party.
Man.
And it was like, cause some friends of his came on. It's like, oh, okay. Well, never mind then. And then I was just on his friends list for months. And I was too scared to talk to him because it's, you know, I've got lots of people on my friends list who I don't know who they are. And if they spoke to me, I would probably remove them.
Yeah. Had that experience.
And then finally I was like, hey man, I really enjoy your stuff. You inspired me to start a podcast. Anyway, you're probably going to kick me now, but thank you. And he was like, oh, you know, thanks for being a fan of my work, and did not kick me.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. That's the conclusion of this story. Right.
Yeah.
And then a little over a week ago, I started up Dota to play a game with Nick, and I got a message from Sean Vanneman of him being like, hey, you want to join us? And I was like, yes. Sorry, Nick, fuck off. I'm going to play with Sean Vanneman.
I am out.
And I felt a little bad about it, but you were pretty cool and it was fun.
Yeah. How did that game go? What was it?
I played two games. I played Crystal Maiden and Oracle. It was a three stack, and it went pretty well, I think. I mean, we won both games, and I felt like I was a pretty effective support both games. I didn't die very much. I saved some lives. I did have a real, like, just... I don't have a lot of, like, nerves when I'm meeting someone I respect a lot. But I have a little, yeah, and it led to me buying a salve and dropping it in the fountain for him to take. And he's like, that's not how salves work. And I was like, right. Damn it. Right.
And you're like, ah, I'm an idiot. Yeah.
Yep. And he's just nicely explaining that that's not how salves work. And I'm like, I knew that. Fuck. He thinks I don't know how to play.
Of course you did.
I did. It doesn't stay in my brain because I never buy salves because I'm a support and I just want tangos. Yeah. But
sounds like fun.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was pretty cool. He was very friendly. And yeah, good games. Other than that, I played some Earth Spirit and that was really depressing.
Enough said.
I played Night Stalker for the first time since his
tried
change.
Out his wings.
He's so fun.
Wings gaming.
I mean, the wings even like wasn't even the thing that was fun. It was just like, oh right, Night Stalker, huh? Yeah.
I always enjoyed playing him. Until you get behind or something.
And then I played an Enigma game to sort of redeem my Enigma for Nick because I have played Enigma with Nick one time before, and I spent the entire game unable to remember that hitting BKB interrupts channeled spells, and...
We've all done it.
I did it like four times!
Okay, maybe we've not all done it four times.
How many Great Burritos
were involved that night? I don't remember if there were any.
No, it was an 82L game, and it was a big one, so I had nerves. Yeah. It was an important one, and so I was fucking everything up.
Oh, boy.
Anyway. That's our week of Dota, of our personal Fortnite. Matches. Fortnite sure. Dota. Yeah, that's... Well, not quite 20 days, right?
I think it's very important we get these specifics right. Otherwise, the viewers are just going to turn it off. They don't want to look at this.
All right, fine. Thank you, Nick. Yep. Calling me out for being too technical.
Back to Colin at the desk, behind the green screen.
So, you mentioned earlier that our dear friend, Mr. Blue, called us out for some of our, I can't characterize for you, Nick.
We were
speak
pretty
to
harsh.
Your tone. I was gonna say we were a little flip.
Yeah, I mean, I had just seen, you know, it's the internet, right? I saw the mm-hmm. critical response and stuff like that, and I disagreed with a lot of the popular things. I'm like, are people not thinking this? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Mr. Blue came back and had some thoughts that I thought were, like, I don't necessarily agree with him, but they were certainly well-taken points about how much harder things have gotten for third-party tournaments. And so we're going to try and have a fairly short, but like a more considered conversation about that now. And I guess, like, for starters, it is true that the avenues of revenue for avenues Dota revenue. 2 third.
That's what? My Dota 2 band name, Avenues of Revenue. that has nothing to do with Dota 2, though. It's just, okay. That's the bottom.
Just like my turn of phrase. Yep. Have gone kind of dry for third-party tournaments because
they're just not supported. It's the typical Valve thing, I think, of just not really,
yeah,
not putting anything into things they make.
Right, they implement these features and then they just sort of fall by the wayside.
They create great game and then they just don't publish the last episode of it. For instance, just pulling something out of my hat. I don't know. Probably not a real example.
Well, and, like, in some cases, it's stuff like, okay, these tournaments used to have, like, oh, they had, like, you know, these special treasures to commemorate this tournament, and, you know, you have some special sets to go along with it. And that's a thing that could come back, right? That's a thing that they are kind of ignoring, but could come back. Mm-hmm.
Well, they just don't do it very often.
Yeah.
Like, they had a DAC compendium, I think?
Well, but DAC has special leverage.
It is kind of, it's almost a Valve event.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, we still get them now and then. We used to have, like, you know, like summit chests, star ladder chests, and all this stuff. And we don't really get that anymore, and that's a big source of revenue. Though that economy is also kind of drying up because we're getting super saturated with cosmetics to a point where people don't necessarily care about individual sets anymore.
Yeah, that's another issue. One thing I talked about last time is that, like I said, well, I think we both said, you know, we have compendiums all the time now, right? We have 4 a year.
Yeah.
It would be crazy to have, like, compendiums for everything now because saturation and stuff like that. And even in terms of just chests, right? Like, we haven't even gotten to the Immortal 2 chest for TI.
Yeah.
And we're already, you know, we have tons of stuff. We've got the Cash and Immortal 1.
Hey folks, we're interrupting your regularly scheduled Bottle Crow episode with a quick update. This is a day later. The Immortal Treasure 2 has just hit, and we're just going to give you a quick impressions of that.
In true Valve fashion, as soon as we record, something changes. Yay.
Yeah, you know, this was bound to happen sooner or later. Yeah. Sooner. Yeah.
Yeah, we still have one more treasure to go anyways. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go down the line, shall we?
Yeah, sure.
Where should we start?
I mean, let's start where they started, right? Let's start with Chaos Knight.
Chaos Knight. He has Chaos Fulcrum. This is an Immortal Shield. Oh, yeah. The Immortal. That's what we're talking about. Immortal Treasure 2.
Right.
Duh.
Right. Immortal Treasure 2s.
Okay. This is a fancy galaxy shield thing. It's got a lot of particles that swirl around it. It's, you know, very space-like. And this puts an effect on Reality Rift. It, like, puts... You know how regular Reality Rift, there's like a little thing in the center, right? This makes that thing...
One might say a rift in reality in the middle.
Wow. This makes the thing glow. It's like Slurk's Q on his Immortal. It's got the same color scheme and it's like jagged, segmented.
I mean, if you look at it, it looks like the pieces, like his shield looks like a bunch of like pieces of metal sort of wound together around like a swirling thing in the middle.
Yeah.
And it looks like sort of an expanded and sort of exploded version of that.
Basically. Yep. It's pretty
cool. I think
it
looks good.
And then it also like filters the sound a little. It's still ear-piercingly loud if you do the like spam WS thing. But
there was a hot minute where I thought it wasn't and I was really scared. But no, you can still WS, WS, WS.
You can still break people's ears.
You know, zone people out of the lane.
Perfect. Moving on. Wonderful. We have... Mm-hmm. I think what's probably my favorite for Tree into Protector, Stuntwood Sanctuary. He's got these like I can't even tell what slot this is. It's probably like the head or the back. I don't even know what slots tree
it's
has,
shoulder.
Frankly.
It's shoulder.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He's got three, like, weird, creepy tree.
There's men, supposed to be, like I guess, like, trees, like, forest spirits or something.
He's
they
like
look
the
like
deco
nightmare
tree
puppets.
Yeah.
They look,
their faces
they look
are like
horrifying.
Jack-o'-lanterns, but on a tree type, a wooden body, I would say. And they've got little, like, hat things. It's pretty terrifying. And also when this puts the effect on living armor, which I think is actually kind of obnoxious, these three little guys dance around whoever has living armor too. Like they dance mm-hmm. along the ground. It is
and, like,
really
little,
obvious.
And there's also like a blooming flower effect as well.
Yeah. It is ridiculously obvious now if someone gets living armored. Whereas before it's just like some green swirls around their body. Now you have these three demonic like wood kids that dance around you, that have, like, pink heads.
This is one of the immortals I won't equip, because I find it nightmarish.
I probably will. I think I just got it, because I had four treasures, because, you know, we built up so many by now. I think.
Oh, shit,
I,
that's right. I've got some, too, don't I?
Yeah. I have a bunch.
Yeah, anyway.
It's creepy. It's great. I love it.
Yeah, I like Chaos Knights. I don't so far. I don't like Treants that... Like, I'm not... I don't have a problem with Treants. I'm just... It's not what I want from Treant. It's people who want that kind of style from Treant. There you go, right?
Yes.
This is not to my tastes, but it is certainly well done.
Yeah. Moving in the complete opposite direction is Lena's Wormrot Flare, which is a belt. And it's kind of like her last the dragon set she got for some compendium. That's what I have equipped now. Except it glows, and it's like feathers on either side of her hips or whatever.
Mm-hmm. But also scales. I think the dress itself doesn't look very good, honestly.
I think it's fine. I like it. I have it equipped for now. It'll probably match the rest of the
That's true. I haven't messed with other items. Like, yeah. I've only seen it equipped on default Lena. I suppose there are probably
combinations. It's like she ripped off the wings of a bird as like they were tucked away and put that on as a belt behind her. It looks very odd.
It looks strange.
But it's cool. And it puts in a light strike array effect, which is pretty cool. Have you seen that right now? I think it's pretty cool. That looks pretty neat.
I think it's a good light strike array effect.
A runic look to it.
Mm-hmm. And then sort of makes the actual like light strike array itself like have more of like a
pronounced
flare
AOE.
Up. Like, yeah, a pronounced AOE, sort of a flare up, a fire when it hits, and it's more, a lot of immortals, it makes the spell a lot more dramatic.
Yep. Next up is Pudge, of course. Gotta have another Pudge item. This one is, like, it's disgusting. It's Scavenging Guttle Slug. It's a left arm item, and it's, like, this body-sized slug with three claws around its mouth, like, just leached onto Pudge's arm. Mm-hmm. And it, like, wiggles around and stuff. And then it changes his rot from, you know, the standard, like, gas cloud to this black and red slug cloud, because there's like little slugs that wriggle around on the ground. It's pretty neat.
I mean, there are so few Pudge items that I like. I just don't like Pudge's style, but like, I guess it's neat that he's got this, like, it's just gross.
It fits his style, doesn't it, though?
It feels like a more extreme version of his style than usual, but yes, I think it does.
More extreme than his voluptuous belly being held in by, like, an apron.
I mean, that's
a
not
bloody
that gross.
Apron? I guess not.
Compared to, listen,
a slug
Dota, listen, Dota, gore is one thing. You're change the G
body
there.
Horror.
You're getting into vor territory, and I don't like it.
Perfect for you know, moving on from this is Bloodseeker, a very non-gory at all character who has a Maw of Ezhok. What is it? ZTZ? How do you make that sound? ZTZ.
I would have said Ezhok.
Ezhok. It's a head item. It puts a effect on your bloodthirst, and you leave, like, instead of a bloody trail, it's, you know, a black and reddish trail now. It's kind of like the Juggernaut Arcana is pretty close.
And it gets, like increasingly dramatic. Like, yeah. The effects become increasingly dramatic the more Bloodthirst buff you're getting.
And you have this crazy, like, mask with a 3-foot-long tongue that comes out of it.
Yeah, it looks like a crazy lizard made of, like iron, right? Like, a dark metal with, like, red highlights and the huge tongue and horns.
His tongue grows. His tongue grows.
It's so dumb, and I love it. It's fantastic. Yeah,
as you, like, walk around, as you're bloodthirsted, it, like, waves around and jiggles. This is perfect.
This is, like, one of the best immortals in this, because Bloodseeker is such a dumb hero, and this item is the best kind of dumb. And
how big can
fantastic.
You get your tongue?
Yeah. What's up?
Oh, boy.
It's great. Yes. It's great. They killed it.
And then this is the last normal one, the Bellows of Creation. So, you know, it's Elder Titan. It's a big old glowing gear thing that he puts on his back.
That doesn't really look like bellows.
No. I mean, I don't use bellows very often in my daily life, but it doesn't. I don't know.
I have a fireplace. I know what bellows look like.
Sure. It puts a ridiculously fancy, kind of unclear effect on his stomp, his echo stomp.
Yeah.
It's like these sort of like four, like, well, you and your astral spirit each have two of these like glowing orb things that combine. And, you know, if his astral spirit is in him, it's four. And if it's not, it's two per. And they like go together. And at the end is the stomp. And it puts out like this little green, blue stomp, depending on if it's you or your spirit.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a really good immortal, and it is both like cool looking and like a lot of good immortals also informative.
Agreed. Yeah, it pronounces the AOE a lot more of your actual
and also
stomp,
the timing with the arc coming together. Yeah. So like, oh, okay, it's going to hit now, and like, you know, I feel like his animation was already pretty good for letting you know that,
kind
but
of,
it's still a little better.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it. I'm glad we can agree. Look at that. Next up is the regular rare, which I've never gotten a rare item, but I would really like this. It's an actual Pegasus for Keeper of the Light.
It's and like it turns his Illuminate into, just one Pegasus being fired and galloping forward. I don't like this. This is gonna seem nitpicky, but we're talking about immortals here, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the Illuminate effect that much because the way the wings are swept out looks kind of weird to me. I guess it has the wings have to be that wide in order to show you what the AoE of it is, but it looks kind of dopey.
Really?
I mean, the wing, like, running with the wings out, like, rigid like that, but, like, pointed, I don't know. It looks funny to me.
It's like it's going to take off. I don't know. I mean, let's think about the geometry, Colin. Look at the size of that horse. You can't have the wings just be the length of the horse. You're just not going to generate enough lift that way.
But if at the end of it, it did take off, like if when the AoE ended, you saw it sweep into the air, then I would be totally on board.
He has to build up as speed. You got to build up to your launch speed, Colin, though.
Right. That's what I was
that's
saying.
That's
the
way
the
wings work, right?
At the end. Work. It's like you're not even hearing me. I don't know. It's like, I think the model is fantastic. I am kind of mixed on the effect, but overall, I still think it's really good.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
The model looks really beautiful, though.
And then the last unique one is the bonus ultra rare reward, and it's a crazy ass necro staff.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a moving hand surrounded, like grasping a necro colored ball of energy that like leaves a trail.
Mm-hmm. And it's sort of it's the fingers are positioned in a way to make it vaguely scythe esque, but
yeah. And this adds the scythe effect, obviously, because it's a scythe. And instead of just being a scythe that appears and smashes you, it's now like an entire Grim Reaper dude. Green Grim Reaper dude. What, do you like it?
It looks fantastic.
Wow. This
I think it's great.
This has been a good chest for you, Colin.
There are a few items that I straight up kind of hate, but a lot of them I really like. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is worth noting that there are also golden versions of three of these immortals, and they all look like crap because they're golden.
What? What? They look awesome. You get a golden CK shield, a golden Pudge slug, and a golden Lina feather.
I think I have once ever seen a golden item that I thought didn't look like shit, so.
Damn.
this could just be a style. Gold is a tacky color, and it rarely fits into a character's color scheme. Gold is a tacky color.
Gold is not a tacky color. Like, teal is often a tacky color. Pink can often be a tacky color.
Okay, my glasses are pink.
Can often be a tacky color. No, notice how I said that.
Notice how you're backpedaling now that I've called you out for being a douchebag.
It can be. It can be. Absolutely. Gold can. Is tacky, like, it can also be an aesthetic. It's not like you can't have tacky things.
Gold,
people intentionally
gold is
do
a,
tacky things.
Gold is a good highlight. Gold is a good highlight. Gold is being an entire thing just being solid gold almost always looks bad.
Disagree. Would you rather have you and a golden? I don't know. You're just going to disagree with everything when it comes to gold.
I mean, I'm not going to.
Would you rather have a pink
throne
or a throne made of gold?
I mean, I would sell it so gold, but
but you already have countless riches. You're the king of all podcasts, and you've been gifted this golden throne by Sean Vanaman. Because, you know, wealth is no object to you, but material things, handmade things, or, you know, artisan things are cool. Would you rather have that be a pink throne or a throne made of gold?
In the abstract, I guess I would probably say gold, but, like, I'd have to see it.
How about I stretch this metaphor a little bit more until it gets even more abstract?
Okay.
It looks so cool, and it makes the effect gold, too.
I think
not a gold
guy. Tacky.
You're just not a gold guy. Yeah, then I hope you never get one. And only because I've cursed you with this is the only.
I actually have one gold immortal, and interestingly, it was one of the ones that I thought beforehand looked good.
Damn it!
I have the golden Letitian shards, the Nyx claws.
Okay, I know what that is. Definitely.
Yeah. And I was like, actually, he has some sets that have gold in them, so if you combine it with that, it looks good. And yes, it does.
Okay.
So,
shall we return them to
Pudge's arm just being made of gold is gross.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, we could let's keep talking more garbage. That's a good idea. I'll just keep on going.
All right, folks. Peace out. Go back to the regular podcast.
No, this is not the end of the podcast, though. Keep listening. Do not stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put in Harmonies of New Bloom here. I don't necessarily think there has to be compendium or, like, a huge hubbub around every major. And, like, I think it would be fine if there was less and more for, like, Starladder, Epicenter, BTS, whatever. However, I don't think that'll ever happen because Valve wants money directly instead of just getting it from a cut from giving it to other people.
For sure. And the other part of the problem for as far as revenue, well, okay, there are multiple parts, but the parts that I'm interested in, I guess, is tickets, obviously.
Yeah.
And tickets is one, like as we said, with the treasures, and I guess to a sort of the compendiums, but not as much. That's a situation that could be turned around, right? Maybe. There's potential there. I feel with tickets, you can't really put the genie back in the bottle. No one gives a shit about tickets anymore, and without major revamping of the Dota spectator experience, you are not going to fix that.
Yeah, the thing is, I was trying to think, like, why you would want a ticket, or, like, what you'd do with the ticket. I mean, it's one, it's another thing to buy, right? For someone to watch your tournament, you could buy a ticket, and that's a source of revenue for you. It's just so easy to stream now, though, right? Like, I have a freaking streaming setup. I have a cheapish webcam. I've got, like, a decent cheap condenser mic hooked up into like a mixer, and like that's pretty professional. I mean, this is, you know, the media or content industry as a whole, like, you know, getting slightly professional things done is easier. But like, why would people, for I was thinking maybe for a small tournament, right, in client is nice because you don't have to have an external streaming setup, you can just, you know, have the audio, you have a really nice visual because it's the native client. But I feel like you would just stream it on Twitch, and that way you could, like, set up a camera and, like, see your talent, because it's more engaging than just seeing the little thing on the right that, you know, pops up the little jabbermouth thing when people talk.
Yeah, I mean, so you can see the talent. You can obviously add in extra layers of UI in post-production, or...
Which you might not have for smaller tournaments, but it's not even that hard, probably.
Well, I mean, some of this stuff you're going to have, like, I mean, like, you know, like the sort of like the like rapier on the deck, so-and-so picked up rapier stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, even the smaller tournaments are starting to do stuff like that. Yeah. You don't need, you know, like...
Because in the end, it's all automated. It's just, you know, if it's a propriety thing or, you know, they have the tools and the expertise to know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. And it's true that, you know, like, as we go, like, Dota's starting to implement some of these features into the game itself.
Yeah.
But it's still, it's like, okay, you'd need to boot up Dota 2 for this. You don't need to boot up Dota 2 for Twitch. You can do Twitch on your phone. You could do it on your TV.
Yeah.
If you know, for some TVs, whatever, fucking.
You can just stream it from your PC to your TV.
Yeah, or your console or whatever. Console. And it's at a point where there's the only reason to use Dota TV that I can see is if you are looking to watch a specific player and try and figure out something about how they play.
Also, you technically have a chance to, like, get item drops, but, like, I don't even know how that works,
okay,
frankly.
I'll give you that technicality, but not really, it's, right?
I have no idea. That's the one mechanic in Dota probably I know the least about is spectator item dropping.
I mean, like, back in, like, TI3 and stuff, yeah, when, like, Dota TV was actually what people used,
yeah,
it was still, like, you saw, like, the grand finals and something happened and 13 people got a drop. It's not a number yeah enough to, like, the
odds
are so
low. I don't know if you can
so
control that. I don't know. I have no idea. Skip it.
Oh, you think tournament organizers have influence?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't know.
I strongly doubt it.
No idea.
That would be interesting, I guess, like...
But, like, why do you want to incentivize people to watch, you know, without the ability to see a panel or, like, faces or anything?
Or ads.
That doesn't even... Or ads, yeah. Because there's no space on the Dota 2 map to put ads.
I'm not entirely... like, I think that was a goofy complaint, but I'm not entirely unsympathetic, right?
I guess.
Like, I don't... You know, obviously, I don't want fucking, like... ads on the, but like, okay, let's say you add a, like, an instant replay feature into Dota 2, right? Into the Dota 2 spectator. You're like, oh, you, like, as the person, you know, yeah, as the, then, like, okay, whoever's yeah controlling the camera, the observer, has the ability to do this instant replay thing, and they can designate this part of time, and you can do an instant replay, and it'll push to anyone who's chosen you as the spectator, but you can also be, like, instant replay brought to you by Coca-Cola.
Yeah, I mean, that's the football thing.
Like, sure, that's fine.
But, like, you would just do that in post-production, or, like, live mixing.
Sure, but that's just one more reason that you don't need to bother with tickets anymore, right?
Exactly. Like, I mean, like, people, I don't know. People aren't going to watch in the client because of that. I don't know if client views are just that important. I don't know. We don't really have the metrics on it, but I just don't think that's where people would want to focus for business reasons.
No. I mean, I think you'd need to figure out some amazing new reason for people to want to view in client, and I think that's a harder problem to solve for, honestly, than trying to figure out ways to draw revenue from Twitch and stuff more than you already do.
Yeah. And I mean, like, if I watch much Dota, it's probably on my TV. Like, whenever the whatchamacallits, the majors, those are a thing we talk about in TI, mm-hmm, are on. If I watch those games, it's probably on my TV.
I'll start doing that now. I could for a bit and peek behind the curtain. My internet recently got fixed. Used to be that I could have my PS4 on with the internet for about 3 minutes and then it would stop working. Until I hard restarted my PS4.
Perfect.
Yeah, it was spectacular.
When is Dota 2 coming to console, Colin? That's what the listeners want to hear.
So much easier to monetize. All these pirates getting copies of Dota 2 for free?
Right? What is that?
Not paying
doing?
Their $60? Oh, no wonder this community is unsustainable. The investors are panicked. Yeah, look, I think, honestly, if you want really smart commentary on the third-party tournaments, we're not your people for that. We do the best we can around here, but we're not economists, and we're not...
I'm trying to give my even yeah less than everyman view of Dota, because, as I mm-hmm said, I don't actually watch much Dota, much like Pro Dota.
Yeah.
Is BTS going on? I've seen Reddit clips of people at the BTS house. That's all I know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it is.
With Eternal Envy showing his thighs again.
Yeah, that boy. He likes to show some skin on cam. Mm-hmm. It's racy.
Tasty.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know. I think they need to figure out new sources of revenue, and I don't totally think you, like, look, I think you can put the treasure stuff on Valve. I don't think you can put the tickets on Valve, because that's just the evolution of streaming.
They need a new ticket system, period. I do have to say. Like, their free ticket system for, like, the Amateur Dota 2 League, Echo League, the We Like Dota League, for the We Like Dota podcast. They run that every year. I think, were you in that last year, Cullen? It took, like, 6 months, 9 months, maybe, for their ticket to get approved. And that was, like, literally the day of the grand finals or something, is when their ticket got approved.
It was a disaster.
And there's no regularity or, like, guidelines that they go by. It's just like probably when someone walks by the PC that has the tickets on, like, oh, we need to approve these. I'll do that over the weekend.
Here, I'll do like 30 today, and then you see one of those patches.
On my lunch break,
where it's like,
let's see how long this tuna salad sandwich lasts me. That's how many tickets.
And you see it. You see those patches that get pushed where it's like, fixed this one bug, added 50 tickets, and you're like, oh, I see.
Like, shouldn't you just automate this? Is there a reason not to automate this? I don't.
Yeah, like, is it a big problem of spam tickets? And I guess I don't know, because Valve hasn't talked about it. Maybe there's a reason it's not automated. Maybe they get a bunch of people who are trying to get their fake tournaments in. But, like, also, who cares? Is that a problem if there are tournaments on there that no one watches? What's the hold up?
I don't even think the current AD2L ticket is in, though. I don't know. I try not.
Yeah.
Moving on from this nonsense.
Sure. That's fair. So, in closing, I think part of this is on Valve, part of it's not. We were maybe a little too harsh last time, but also, come on, guys.
I mean, a bunch of it is on Valve. It's just, I think I expect Valve to do so little. I don't think it's good, but they do that, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, a few weeks ago, we were talking about lore. We were talking about IO's lore.
Oh, yes. Arcana.
And Tinker came up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about Tinker's lore, and we talked about the sort of the Half-Life references in there, right?
Yes.
And then Sir Action Slacks did one of his Loregasm videos, which, by the way, I think those are great.
They're fine.
I'm really glad he's doing those.
Mm-hmm.
He sometimes reaches a little far, or sometimes extremely far.
I mean, he says it's headcanon.
His theoretical stuff. Sure. He goes a little hard in the paint sometimes. But yeah, like, they're valuable videos, and I'm glad that he has an unironic appreciation for the lore and is happy to share it with people with some pretty decent production value at times, considering.
Yeah.
But I have a bit of an objection to something that I feel like both you, Nick, and Sir Action Slacks fell into, specifically with Tinker's lore, and as it applies more broadly to Dota lore.
Okay.
So, there are lines that Tinker has referencing Half-Life 2, right? Like, clear, jokey references to Half-Life 2, talking about Lamar, talking about the 7-minute war instead of the 7-hour war, blah, 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 blah. And seems like both I know Sir Action Slacks, I'm having trouble recalling specifically with you, came to the conclusion that that meant that he literally had been to the world of Half-Life, right?
That he is Dr. Kleiner.
Oh, right. Yours is that he is literally Dr. Mm-hmm. Kleiner. Sir Action Slacks' theory is that because he can use portals and stuff to travel between worlds, that he'd visited it.
Or that...
I don't remember. That's in his... I watched the video. That is his
I mean,
theory.
I did too. I forget. Okay. You probably remember.
Well, in any case, it actually isn't super relevant, because my objection is that, guys, it's a video game.
Oh,
and,
that's a bad reason. Go ahead. I'll stop.
And not always. I mean, that's not going to be my defense of everything. Okay. But sometimes people put things in a video game that are like semi-joking nods to other things, sort of a nod and a wink there, that are not meant to be taken as 100% serious and canon for the lore. If you play Super Mario RPG, you can go to a bar and see Samus. The Metroid universe does not take place in the Mushroom Kingdom. That's not what that means. And Sir Action Slacks actually supposes that Tinker was referring to the 7-hour war when he said the 7-minute war, but he just messed up and got it wrong.
Well, I just think it could be a parallel universe thing. I disagree with him there.
But like, those are just joking references, and not everything in Tinker's lore is, and sometimes it's hard to draw the line, but there is some stuff in Dota that is just a gag and doesn't actually have relevance to the lore.
Sure. He mentioned that in the video, but he said that this is different, and he talked about how, like, Tinker's entire lore is basically the lore of Black Mesa. But, like, twisted in an alternate universe way. And also, I don't think it matters what the seriousness of something being in the game is. It's like authorial intent or something like that with, you know, books and stuff like that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they thought when they put it in. If there's enough of it in the game that you can build your own headcanon around it, I think that's fine to just say that's how it is.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It just seems like...
I think there's enough of it in this case. I do agree. Like, of course, there's gags and stuff, and there's TF2 references. I mean, we even mentioned that, I think.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they are, but, like, I don't think there's enough to, like, say, oh, I bet that such a, you know, sniper is a squashed version of the TF2 sniper. I don't know. I just think there's too much in the game for that particular reference for Half-Life.
Yeah, I don't know. When you bring in Death of the Author, that's a thing that... It's weird. This is kind of strange.
I'm not sure if it's completely applicable, but it's...
Right, it gets weird to talk about Death of the Author in a game that is being modified in real time. That gets... Yeah. That turns into a strange conversation. And, like, I don't know how much of Tinker's lore is because there was a point where they weren't taking their lore very seriously, and then they started to, kind of. And also, does that matter, right? Like, yeah. Well, who fucking cares? It's in the game. It's like, well, it matters if in a couple of patches they're going to give him a new voice actor and different lore or something. I don't
when
expect
is the
that
last
to happen.
Time that happened
but,
in Dota 2? Yeah.
I think it has, but I'm not really? Sure. I could be full of crap. I don't know.
I don't know. I just know League retcons their entire lore every, like, 2 years.
Sure, right? And there's you know, like... I mean,
and, like,
you know,
good for them,
some
they're
characters...
working on it and stuff, but...
Sure, and, like, Dota's, some characters in Dota have changed names.
Yeah.
And that's certainly a fairly significant change for... I don't know,
kind
it's...
of. Yeah. Dota lore is always, like, ethereal and... I mean, I think, in my opinion, Dota lore is always, like, taken with a grain of salt. Because it's like,
sure,
none of this fucking makes sense. There's 7 planes of existence. We play on the physical plane. There's 4 fundamentals. They're, like, more than gods. There's also gods. There's lots of gods. Also, the ancients. It's all, like...
Okay.
It's like a hard fantasy. Like, combine every element of hard fantasy. That's Dota.
Okay.
You've
yeah.
got dwarves.
Yeah,
you've
I
got
think
elves.
You're right.
You've got magical forest creatures.
It's a bit of a mess.
Yeah, a bit. I think it's a lot of a mess.
And
but
so,
that's why I like
with
it.
That, let's talk about our Lore of the Week, shall we?
Oh, okay. We have Lore of the Week.
We do.
We do?
Lore of the Week is for Act 1 of Siltbreaker. Now, I have not beaten Siltbreaker. I've done some reading. No.
Wow.
I don't want to play Siltbreaker ever again. But... Folks, this is why I'm doing this. I'm going to free you. I'm going to tell you what's in this so you never have to play Act 1 of Siltbreaker.
Perfect. This never will.
So, okay, let's start with our premise here, right? Dark Reef Prison. We all know Dark Reef Prison. It's the underground prison where the most evil water prisoners are kept, right?
Wait,
the most
underground
dangerous.
Or is it underwater? Or is it both?
Underwater.
Okay.
Did I misspeak?
Yep.
Underwater. It is beneath the sea.
Under the sea.
And there has only ever been one escapee. That's Slark. And, yeah, it's just, it's the ultimate slammer for water criminals, right?
Of course, those damn water criminals.
And within it, there is a very powerful prisoner by the name of Siltbreaker.
Ah.
And he is kept basically, like, it's sort of unclear, but basically, like, asleep or in a coma or something, generally. And he wakes up and tries to escape. And he is foiled, but it's clear that he's going to try again, and the second time they might not be able to stop him. They, of course, being the keepers of Darkreef Prison. Now, part of the management, apparently, we're learning, this is new lore, of the Darkreef Prison is the Conclave of the Brine, who I guess are the wardens.
Sure.
Or upper management of the Darkreef Prison.
Corporate.
And they're like, okay, we need to do something about this, because not only is he trying to break out and we need to stop that, but, like, he's got some loyal followers who are not in Darkreef Prison who heard that he's trying to get out are going to start messing shit up.
His network.
And indeed, that's and this is
fight.
What...
It all makes
yes,
sense.
This is Act 1. The leader of Act 1's, you know, Siltbreaker's allies is Ryzeek the Corruptor, who is in the Sands of Calibor, which is where you eventually go if you play Siltbreaker to the end. Why did you do that? So, the adventurers, it's interesting to see the list of adventurers that are available in Act 1. I wonder if there will be a different list for Act 2. But the lore for the adventurers is that they are people who basically they're answering the Conclave's call, these wardens and overseers of Darkreef Prison, with the reward that if they succeed, their names will be cleared from the Conclave's ledger. In other words, these are all people that the Conclave, I guess, is...
on their naughty list?
Intending at some point to lock up in Darkreef or something? Mm-hmm. It's a little unclear, but they're on the Conclave's fairly literal shit list. Not completely literal, because it is not made of feces, but, you know.
Well.
I know. Bummer.
Bird tree feces.
Tree something sees. Like that. Good work. Good
keep
work.
Going.
You got there.
Don't stop.
So, let's talk about what heroes are available, shall we?
Sure.
So, we have Abaddon, Trezden the Legion Commander, Sven, Tidehunter. I forget, he's got a real name, doesn't he? Well, whatever. I'm gonna stop saying people's real names. It's gonna take forever.
Yeah.
Tiny. Yes. Drow Ranger, Shadow Fiend, Templar Assassin, Troll Warlord, Dazzle, Jakiro, Lina, Wind Ranger, Witch Doctor.
Do, do, do.
Parts of this list totally make sense to me, right?
Mm-hmm. Shadow Fiend.
Like, well, no, actually, that's the one that doesn't make sense to me. Like, okay, so...
He broke out
of
hell.
Okay, so I can see why Abaddon's involved, because he just wants to get allies and, you know, make alliances for the House of Vernus or whatever, right? I can see why the two rangers are involved. They're rangers. They just fucking deal with problems. Okay. I can see why Lina is involved. She'll go anywhere she gets to kill things. I can see why Troll's involved. He's an asshole. I can see why, like, so many of these characters. But, like, what is Shadow Fiend's motivation for being involved? I know there's the ledger thing, but, like, Shadow Fiend doesn't give a fuck.
I don't know. Maybe he does. They're super
maybe
powerful.
He does,
they can
right?
contain
I mean, like,
I mean, have you seen Shadow Fiend solo Ryzeek at the end of Siltbreaker?
I have not.
Therefore, he's less powerful than him. And if Ryzeek is less powerful than Siltbreaker, then obviously the prison people could lock him up.
Well, and logic. Like, it's. I'm not saying, like, so this is bad lore. I'm saying this is an interesting, like, detail, right? Like, oh, apparently these people were able to get a leash on fucking Shadow Fiend. That's interesting. They're able to get, like, Tiny. Tiny's like... Tiny feels...
I have no idea what Tiny's lore is. Is he just
he's just a rock that, like, basically he was a pebble, a sentient pebble that just sort of, you know, Rolling Stone fucking gathered up a bunch of other rocks, and now he just walks around and does shit.
Coming to life, like, as a chunk of stone.
It's like getting, like, the wind on your side. It's like, I didn't know you could do that. It doesn't really seem like it should have, like, motives other than just wandering around and doing whatever the fuck strikes its fancy. But I guess you have some leverage over Tiny. Huh. That's interesting.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah.
You fight your way through, you fight your way through some wolves. You deal with Lucius Longclaw, who is a lycanthrope who leads up some wolves who have beef with the locals. So you deal with him. You fight your way through, rescue some creeps, fight some ogres. I don't know what to make of. I think maybe this is just a gag, but there are, like, invoker-modeled dark maguses that are hidden in corners of the map that will sell you secret items, but I think that's probably just an Easter egg. And anyway, you fight your way through a desert town. Eventually, you make your way, you beat Ryzeek, and then you go through a portal to go to the actual Dark Reef itself to face Siltbreaker on his, I guess, home turf, and ensure that he can never leave. Oh, I'm sorry. Actually, the portal takes you, I believe, to, like, just outside Dark Reef, and now your job is to infiltrate it.
It would be too convenient if it just puts you right on Siltbreaker.
Right.
You'd have to skip the entire second act.
So, lore-wise, it's more questions than answers, I think it's fair to say.
That's totally in a nutshell.
Yeah. I guess I expected more answers from a thing that was literally pitched on being a lore thing. Like, here's our lore campaign. Yep. It's like, well,
We expected a lot.
I did have a really great moment, actually. This is just, you know, a peek behind the curtain of my researching, where I'm reading a bunch of, like dialogue lines and stuff from NPCs from Siltbreaker. And the way it's denotated is by, like, there are some lines that the NPC will say specifically to specific people, right? Like, there's a guy who, if he sees Sven, he'll say, "We could use a sword like yours around here," right? But the way it's denotated in this log makes it look like these are things that those characters will say to them, which for some of them actually makes sense. And I was like, oh, these are interesting additions to their lore. Here's Windranger talking about her mother. That's neat. But then there's a bunch of stuff of Shadow Fiend saying stuff like, "Where did you say you were from?" Like, what? Shadow? What? And I was getting increasingly baffled. Like, yeah. And here I am pouring my soul out to an absolute stranger. Did Shadow Fiend just say that? What is happening? And then, like, 75% of the way done with this list, I finally figured it out, and I was like, "This is the dangers of the lore.
You have to be prepared."
Templar assassins having a really awkward conversation with this random guy. Okay, sure. Like, anyway,
yeah.
That's your lore of the week, and a good story about why I'm bad at this.
Game is hard.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm at a point with Dota where it's a game that I love and I'll keep playing it for a long time. But I don't know that I'm ever going to significantly go up in MMR again.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What makes you feel this way?
Well, I feel like everyone's getting better at Dota all the time, and I am too. But that means that as I get better, the people around me get better. And so the value I'm at means the same thing, right? Like, if I'm 2700 MMR and I'm playing with a bunch of 2700 MMR people and we all get a little bit better, then nothing has changed. MMR is a measure of how much better you are compared to the average. And if the average goes up, then you're going up at the same rate. Makes no difference.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, I work a full-time job with 2 hours travel time a day, and I have other hobbies. I don't know that I'm ever going to have the time to dedicate to Dota that it would take to break through and accelerate my learning to significantly gain MMR.
I don't...
And I feel like a lot of people are there with me.
I don't think everyone's MMR raises at the same rate. I don't think we have a rising sure. tide that carries, you know, everything.
I guess that's fair, but like...
Go to your Dota buff right now.
Okay,
done. Wow, that was fast. Go to your trends, and then look at your denies per 10 for all time.
Oh, this is going to be a bad one, Nick.
No.
For all time?
All time.
I can't,
your average okay, denies per 10.
How do I make it do all time?
Top left, filter all time.
Oh, huh.
Mm-hmm. Now, your last hits and your XPM and GPM are fairly static in the past while, I would say. Let's see, when is this? Yeah, 2030. In the past year or so, yours is pretty static. But for your denies, it keeps going up.
Yeah.
You feel free to look up my Dota buff, by the way. Everything keeps going up for me. I'm pretty lucky so far. My GPM, consistent trend for the past 4 years.
Well,
but
and like...
it's kind of a, you know, it's logarithmic, so it's kind of tapering off, but inverse logarithmic.
Well, and a thing that's worth pointing out, right, is that there are a lot of things in Dota that I will work on, right?
Yeah.
I will work on my itemization. I will work on my build. I will work on my rotations. I will work on my map awareness and my warding. I don't think I've ever once made a concerted effort to improve my farming.
That's true. I mean, you're well, around... since we've been, you know, potting, you're more of a support player.
Yeah.
But well, I mean, we had this conversation the other day where I think you should focus more on farming as a support.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing Purge does really well.
I need to, like... the thing is, it's eating my vegetables. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I think, don't like farming.
Yeah. I think that's how you get a lot of MMR, though, as a support. Like, is where knowing where to find the farm, I think, is like farming is even more important for support, because if you miss an opportunity, it's really bad. Whereas, like, if you're a carry and you miss an opportunity, then you're not being efficient. But hey, you have this whole safe lane to farm for 20 minutes while your team actually plays the video game or something. And I feel like Purge farms as a support really well. And like, when I think my supporting has gotten a lot better from watching Purge, mainly from like seeing how he finds farm. And I know he goes after day 9 for that a lot too.
So okay, here's an alternate theory, right? My MMR has stagnated through the method of fucking around in 3 stacks now and then. And if I want it to get better, I'm going to have to take other steps. It's still doable without investing too much more time, but I am going to have to get a little more serious.
You have to be more aware, yeah. Or, like, you have to open your eyes to this. Like, you have to shift your focus, I think, is how, like...
And also, you have to stop picking Tusk, like, ever.
Such a trash hero. But so fun. It's just so fun.
This is not even that much fun now that they fucked up our shards.
Yeah, well...
it's not fun to fucking save different. My enemy over and over.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
All right.
But
okay.
I do, you know, understand what you mean, but I don't know that everyone's MMR is going up at the same rate.
I don't think everyone's is going up at the same rate. That was never the theory. The theory was like, as an average, everyone is going up at the same rate. But maybe you're right.
I don't know. The way the math works, I don't know that is quite, maybe not necessarily false, but like as big of an effect as you would think. I think, like, people definitely have skill plateaus. Like, I've found one recently. My if you can't see my MMR graph, but I've gone up really steadily until April of this year. And that's when I hit my peak of 3.5 solo MMR. And, like, I don't actually solo queue that much, but I do a decent amount. And then since then, I've kind of stagnated / like, gone down a little. But that's, like, the first time ever. So, like, I've actually hit my skill plateau around, like, 3.5K. And that happens... the number itself does, like, change, right? Like, 3K today is not 3K 2 years ago. But to actually map it is hard. Mm-hmm. Especially at low MMRs.
Yeah, and I play so little solo queue anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
my party MMR has gone up and up and up, which is nice.
Yeah.
Well, except for I stopped playing because I've been doing international. But, like, so when I finally approve my international ranked MMR, it will be an improvement of something like 800 over my party MMR.
I'm not going to improve mine. I'm going to take my low party.
I want it to be a more honest representation. I feel like the few times where it's worked, like, I used to play more with Host Emeritus Emily, and hopefully she'll get a computer again. We can do that more. But, like, it made me feel like a bully sometimes, right? Because I'm playing, like, it's not even like, oh, I'm playing with these lower MMR people, right? Like, that's fine. But, like, I'm kind of lying about my MMR, and that's not my fault. But my MMR is 1,000 higher than what it says. And so,
however, remember, it's now only 500 above because they mitigate solo and party.
True. I mean, I haven't played with her since that change.
True.
Because she hasn't had a computer. But, like, yeah, that's true. But, you know, there were these games where, I mean, like, God, I am still trash at laning as a carry. I always have been. But, like, if I played Windranger and I survived laning, I won the game in those games. Because it's just like, oh, no, my late game's good, and I'm actually so much better than the game thinks I am. This is going to be rough.
Yeah.
And that was unfair. That was kind of uncool.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, party MMR is... It's weird and ethereal anyways. There's no comparison to actual, like, skill levels in party MMR unless you play with, like, a different set of friends every time you play party MMR, and then maybe it's better. It's because, you know, average MMR is more stable, but it's hard to talk numbers in party.
Also, I'm also looking at this GPM chart, and you said, like, well, it's basically plateaued for me all time. But in a sense, it also hasn't, because the ratio of support games to carry games has gone way up.
True.
I play way more support than carry now, and yet, overall, the graph is still higher than it was before.
Yeah, and that's an achievement.
So actually, that's not bad. Anyway, I think that's probably it for this episode of Bottle Crow, don't you think?
Sure. Sounds good to me. We've had it for a while.
Yeah. So this podcast is a part of the Scanline Media Podcast Network. We're a network now, you guys.
Wow.
I've decided. That's how it works, is I decided it was a network because we have 4 fucking podcasts. I'm on 4 podcasts these days,
you guys. 3 was a podcasting triangle, but 4 is a podcasting network, as they say. A rolling network gathers more podcasts.
4 is 2 network, but 3 is company. You can go to scanlinemedia.com if you want to check out some other podcasts about video games or articles or hopefully some videos soon.
Or don't.
Now that I have internet-y stuff. Or you can not if you want to.
I don't know.
You could also go to patreon.com/scanlinemedia if you wanted to support us, help us get more equipment and games so we can cover stuff better. All money there just goes to that stuff. Like I mentioned, it doesn't go into people's pockets. This is not our salary.
We don't believe in pockets here. Carry a bag.
You know, we like sleeves, but not pockets so much. I want to give a big thank you to Reddit user Pomodi for use of his Harmonies of New Bloom music pack, which is our intro and outro here on the show and occasionally interstitials, but probably not this time. You can find it in-game in Dota 2 for your use if you like.
Amazing.
I also want to give a big thank you to Ashley Ryan, a.k.a. Vimy, for our new podcast art, which I'm still, you know, I'm still occasionally checking out and being like, damn,
Birds with
that's
Davids.
All right. That's some good stuff.
That's nice.
It was fun story. This is actually not her normal art style. She normally does, like, cartoony-y, like, anime stuff. She does a lot of Splatoon fan art and, like, military stuff. And, like, this was way out of her comfort zone, and she nailed it. If you want to do a commission, you can find her on Patreon. I'm pretty sure it's patreon.com/Svimy, or you can find her on Twitter at Svimy. Get a commission.
Get it.
Folks, this is a quick PSA from your friend Colin, who follows a lot of artists on Twitter. There are a lot of dipshits who message artists and are like, can I get this commission? And the artist is like, sure, it'll be X amount of money. And the person's like, what, this costs money? Yeah, dipshit, it costs money. You're asking them to do a job. So know in advance that this is going to cost money. And you, if you don't like the quote, you can say no, and that's fine.
So how many arcanas do I need to commission something, Colin?
She doesn't play Dota 2. I don't think you can pay
her
an arcana.
Damn.
But
I also have
maybe that means you could pay her in fewer arcana because you could be like, these are worth so much money. You don't know because you don't play Dota 2, but these are worth like thousands of dollars.
This is an arcane piece of pixels.
Anyway, big thank you to her for our art. And we will see you guys next time.
Goodbye.
Peace out.